pupil. Well, I was not very old, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And they said sticky pupil, you know, sticky student, sticky learner, that sort of pupil. And I'm thinking like eyes, right? And I'm like trying to figure out what in the world is like, what's a sticky pupil and how's that have to do with being a disciple of Jesus Christ? Like, are you putting glue on there or what's going on here, right? Like, what are you talking about? But being a person who is going to stick closely to be right by Jesus Christ and to learn from him really does capture the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am going to stick to you, be right there with you, to follow your teachings and learn from you. He has something to be able, he has something to teach us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. To really be built up in our faith, to grow in our faith. We come in knowing very little, right? We need to grow in knowledge. We come in maybe lacking some grace. Well, what's the answer to that? Grow in grace. Okay, that's the encouragement for us all. Colossians chapter 2. See, last week we referenced Jesus as he was calling his disciples. He's, follow me. Some of them, the tax gatherers, hey, follow me. Some of them were fishermen, follow me. But what was consistent? The consistent thing wasn't what their socioeconomic status was. The consistent thing wasn't anything like that. The consistent thing was, follow me. Jesus said, go where I'm going to go. Learn from me. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Okay, bring this out because we have a faith that is alive. And he's addressing these Christians and he's telling them, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith. If we have a faith that's alive, that faith is going to be a continual building process, right? You don't put a house up in a day. It doesn't take place, right? You got to set the foundation first, okay? And that's about as far as I'm going to go because I know nothing about building, right? But you got to set the foundation and then work off of that foundation to build that building. It doesn't take place overnight. It's a process that takes place, and a faith that is alive is going to continue to be built up, is going to continue to be established. It's not a place where, well, I've been baptized, therefore I've arrived, right? No, not exactly, right? So that's the first step in our Christian life, but there's a lot that we have to learn. It was interesting. I haven't had more time recently, but I've had a lot more time to watch TV recently than I normally would like with a new baby around. And so there's some weird stuff on Netflix. But I was watching this Discovering Yellowstone documentary, okay? And they were tracking these different animals in Yellowstone, and they were tracking these wolves in particular, right? And man, they take this thing really seriously. I mean, they are tracking these wolves seriously. They're wolf biologists, zoologists, whatever they are. They're wolf guys, right? And so they track the wolves, right? Where are the wolves going? Some of them, they've put collars on in the past, and I don't think these ones had collars, but they were watching them, and they were following the wolves. You know, every change in location, they're analyzing the wolf behavior based upon the temperature for that year, and what might this mean for the wolves in the coming year, and they were analyzing that. And well, what does it mean? The wolves are hunting buffalo. Now, wolves don't typically hunt buffalo, but because it had not been as cold of a season and their ecosystem had been thrown off because it hadn't been as cold, and the wolves hunt better in the cold because the snow gives them an advantage with the traction. I mean, they were really getting into this thing. I mean, they were really taking it seriously as they were following these wolves and what they were doing. I mean, they're getting into family dynamics and the wolf, you know, hierarchy, and, you know, is that a nuzzle or a nip? And what does that mean? Like, okay, yeah, really, really, really seriously. Well, if they can take something like that seriously, how should we take our tracking and following of Jesus Christ? I mean, do we think on a deep level about his every move? Because I'll speak for myself, okay, sometimes reading the scripture, I have to slow myself down. Like, put myself in one of the characters' perspectives and try and get inside of their head. And okay, Marshall, as an observer here, if you were Peter, what would you be thinking? Or if you were John, what would you be thinking? Or if you were Jesus, how would you be analyzing the situation? See, sometimes I can just, oh, this is the passage. These are the facts, right? But if we're really going to follow Jesus, we're going to examine why did Jesus interact that way? Why did Jesus set things up in this way? Why did Jesus do things like go off by himself to pray as he's coming up on big parts of his agenda? I mean, there's a lot of really interesting stuff if we will take the time to kind of look at the next level. And so we're the people that are interested in that, right? We're the ones that are disciples, followers, sticky learners of Jesus Christ. And so we've got a personal responsibility. Our discipleship first starts with our own personal lives. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. I referenced this a little bit earlier. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 9. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our own good, that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we have the opportunity to decide, am I going to allow myself to be trained by it, or am I going to fight against that training? Am I going to engage in the process, or am I going to fight against that training? And I have to take personal responsibility for my own life. Nobody gets to be an intercessor between myself and Jesus. See, Jesus is the only intercessor between God and man, and so I have a personal responsibility for my relationship with Jesus. I got to take that on. You got to take on personal responsibility for your eternity. The preacher can't do that. The person that discipled you can't do that. Okay? Nobody else can take personal responsibility for your discipleship other than you. What is it? Where is it that you want to go, and do you want to engage in that process? And that's true for us that are not yet in Christ. Again, you got a choice. If you're not in Christ yet, you got a choice, right? Do I want to get in this thing? Do I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Nobody can make that decision for you. If you're already in Christ, right, it's a choice. He doesn't take our personal responsibility away from us. Do we want to be trained by the discipline process, or do we want to fight against it? Because he's not going to force me into making any choices I don't want to make. So we have to ask ourselves, are we engaged in growing? What is it that's currently pushing our comfort zone and helping us to grow in following Jesus Christ? It's not always going to be comfortable. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there are going to be some tribulations, okay, but that tribulation brings about perseverance. That perseverance, proven character, and that proven character, hope. Well, it's a process that we can't shortcut. You know, and so that's going to look differently in each one of our lives. Maybe it's having someone show you the word. One of the things that's really difficult for people is when they're feeling guilty, okay? And maybe it's time that week, maybe they're a new Christian, right? And they know that week has not gone exactly the way that they had hoped that week would go. And, so they're feeling not so great anyway. And then it comes time for their weekly Bible study, right? People have all sorts of different reactions to that. But a lot of times there's an inclination that, I think I'm going to find a reason to cancel this week. I think I'm going to find a reason to do that. Or, okay, they're going to find maybe a doctrinal point that they don't really believe, but it's something that they can kind of fight over, right? I'm going to find an issue, or find something, somebody slighted me, right? Find those things too. Well, what's really going on there? There's a guilty conscience that's going on there. And so, the way that we want to deal with that is we want to deal with that in a way that's showing patience. So certainly, even just having somebody show you the word can be you engaging in that discipline process, because is that always comfortable? No, because it's going to make me kind of look and see myself in the mirror here a little bit, and I might not exactly like what I see right now, right? Hey, if that's you, engage anyway. Engage anyway. Don't make it about other stuff. See, God will put up with so much. God will extend so much grace if we're being honest. If we're being honest, God will put up with a lot. If we're playing games, God's not going to put up with any of it. So, you know, maybe someone sitting down with you to show you the word, that helps you to want to learn more, makes the scriptures clear, helps you guide life for you. Maybe you're doing that for somebody else, and that's your place in the discipline process. Maybe it's just a new challenge, but all of these things, all of these new challenges, that could be a new job. Okay? It's amazing how new environments and new challenges can help grow us as individuals. Our growth as individuals helps us to grow spiritually. Since this is all connected, worship is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the spiritual reality is the true reality, so it's all connected. So if you grow as a person, you are inherently and inevitably going to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, if we keep ourselves in maybe a little bit of a box or a bubble where we're always comfortable and we always know what to expect and we always know how things are going to go, and I am not going to push outside of that comfort zone, your spiritual growth is going to be limited too. So our personal responsibility is to ask the question, are we growing? Can that growth then provide us with a greater perspective? Being comfortable typically doesn't provide the challenge that's necessary for true growth. True growth, new circumstance, they challenge our preconceptions. And Jesus was very interested in challenging his disciples' preconceptions. I want to use John chapter four, as an example here, and you can just kind of reference it a little bit. I'm not going to go verse by verse or anything like that, but John chapter four, I want you to recognize that Jesus is actually challenging his disciples' preconceptions all along the way here. Okay, so first of all, Jesus and his disciples were going through Samaria. Okay. This was not customary. This was not normal. Normally, good Jews, okay, are, no matter what the best and most direct route was, we're going to go around Samaria. Because Jews didn't associate with Samaritans, right? And so Samaritans are basically, they think of them as dogs, as less than human. And so we are not going to go through Samaria. We're going to go around Samaria. That's what we're going to do. Well, did Jesus go around or did he go through Samaria? Jesus goes through Samaria, right? Okay, great. And then he sends his disciples to go get food. Now, not only did good Jews not go through Samaria, you certainly were not going to eat any of that food that was prepared by those less than human Samaritans, right? Because again, very strict Jewish dietary guidelines, making sure that the people that are prepared are clean, so on and so forth. We are not going to eat any of that Samaritan food. What's Jesus having his disciples go do in John chapter 4? They went to go get food. Again, he's challenging a preconception. They come back and they see Jesus talking to one of these Samaritans. Again, you can kind of see where this is going, right? Okay, did Jews talk to and associate Samaritan? No. Okay, you can see where else this is going. She was a Samaritan woman. Okay? Again, remember, in that time and in that culture, basically, women were considered property. And this is a Samaritan woman. And what's Jesus doing? Talking to her. Engaging with her. Answering her questions. Okay? And all along the line, challenging his disciples' preconceptions about the way that things should be. Challenging their ideas of what was customary and what was right. Okay? But Jesus took them out of their comfort zone, and that provided growth for them. Again, on a personal and individual basis, I'd really like to challenge you to engage in things that are going to present opportunities for growth for you. And that doesn't have to be inherently overly spiritual. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I am going to start a new Bible study. Well, that's great. I think you should start a new Bible study. That's fine. But that's not the only thing that you can do to grow yourself as a person that will also give you the effect of growing your spiritual depth. Right? And so if we are going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we certainly need to be making other disciples of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about that here in just a minute. But on a personal level, there are discipline processes that we need to engage in that will help us grow to be the type of disciples that Jesus is looking for. Everybody tracking there? That makes sense? So, you know, you see things differently. when those preconceptions are challenged. A lot of you guys know that I've been working nights at my Riley Tractor Parts job recently, and we don't have a third shift. I am the total sum of our third shift staff. And so it's about a 30,000-foot warehouse, and I work overnight. You know what? The warehouse looks and sounds a whole lot different at night than it does during the day. Your preconception about my preconception about that warehouse is quite a bit different today than it was when I was working from 8 until 4. Okay, it's a little bit different of a warehouse from 11:30 until 7. You gonna start playing the piano for us, buddy? Dramatic effect, you know. Well, why? Because my circumstances have changed, right? I hadn't ever been there in a time. I mean, the warehouse itself didn't change. Nothing about the warehouse changed. The wind still beat up against that, you know, metal building the same way during the day. I just didn't notice it when there's 20 other people in the warehouse and there's tow motors going on everywhere. And, well, now it's completely silent. 30,000-foot warehouse. At night, I tried to turn on as few lights as possible to conserve energy, and I'm rethinking that decision. your preconceptions get changed, and it produces a broader perspective with greater growth, right? Lastly here, you have to take personal responsibility. Whoa, 353. Holy. Okay. we'll get to most of this next week. So you got to take personal responsibility, okay, for your growth process. And that's something that nobody else can do for you. You can't, you know, well, it's an easy target, okay, but you can't go to the priest to be an advocate for you, right? There's one advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There's no other advocate. You have to take personal responsibility. But as much as you have to take personal responsibility, okay, there is also an aspect of discipleship that has to do with communal commitment. And what I'm talking about that, and we'll get into this next week, is that you also are committed to the community of Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, that not only do you have personal responsibility, but you also have a personal responsibility to your brothers and to your sisters to help them make it to heaven too. And you can't ultimately make that decision for them, okay, but you got a role to play in their discipleship process too. You got a role to play as the body continues to build itself up in love. So I'll leave you with those words of encouragement. And I hopefully have maybe spurred a little bit of motivation. Look at something that you can do this week that'll cause a little bit of growth, to see things from a little bit different perspective. You know, take a different route to work and see what you notice, you know, because there's opportunities all over the place for us to learn and grow in depth if we're looking to do that. Bob?